بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One is transmission, and that is being done very well in this day. What transmitters all over the show, receivers, transmitters, phones, so that is to the level of transmission, passing on. You will not say that transmission is not required. It is required, balligh, pass it on. But the essence and the goal is not transmission, it's transformation. Where we went wrong is we think that it's just transmission. Come and work. The one that is doing the oration says, I've done my work. The one that is listening, I've done my work. So it ends there at the level of transmission. It doesn't go beyond transmitting, whereas what was required was transformation. And what is required most is this. Like you hear a person coming to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or thereafter the Sahaba-i-Kiram, etc. And there wasn't such a great emphasis on the style of the transmission. There wasn't so much of emphasis. All right, deliberate, قُولُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. Say it in a way that it will reach their hearts. دِلْ کو پہنچ جائے. بات ان کے دلوں تک پہنچ جائے. So you will say it in a serious manner, in a manner that it will touch the heart. But why must it touch the heart? To transform them, to change them. So you may find a person coming to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him one advice. And then he says, Wallah, after that I never slept. You know, those that have been to Surat, etc., in the old days, not now. Now it may be a little bit more modern, right? But you will see that every second, third word is swear word, right? It's a swear word. I can still, those words are still ringing in my head, right? The father can be using a swear word, son can use a swear word. So that was the style, right? Now, if you understood that, then you understand the hadith. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا تسب أحدا. Don't be abusive to anybody. So this sahabi will go on and say after that, Wallah, for the rest of my life, I never indulge in abuse. That was the first and the last stop there. It never continued. What do you call this? Transformation. The ancient Arab, it was a disgrace to have a daughter. أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ أَمْ يُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Should we retain this child with disgrace? Or should we push her into the ground? What should we do? And Islam came, and now they are remorseful for what they did. Forget ever even contemplating. That is so remorseful. Will we ever be forgiven for what we have done? How could we have done such a thing? But now it was a disgrace, and now it became such an honorable thing that Hamza radiallahu anhu's daughter, now spirit have come for the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and the daughter sees, she's maybe 5-6 years of age. So she sees Hazrat Ali or Hazrat Jafar or Zayd ibn Harisa. I think it was Zayd ibn Harisa, and she called Ya Ammi. Uncle. She recognized now, alright, these are my relatives. So she is brought, and now there is a little bit of a dispute as to who will have the right, who will get the preference to look after this girl. Now look at it, look at the transformation. Before, it was an insult, it was a humiliation, a disgrace to keep a girl. Now there is an actual dispute going on, and the dispute has to be brought to Nabi as to who is going to be the preferential person to be the guardian of this child. See, from where to where. See this. So, in Islam, this is what is required. It's not just the oration, not just the transmission. It is the transformation. One person is traveling. He's invited to Calcutta somewhere for the laying of the foundation. I think it was Mia Muhammad Hussein or something. Ahmad Hussein or Muhammad Hussein. So he's called to Calcutta to do some foundation laying. Now how you get a masjid or something, someone wants. He's a pious person, and they asked him, "Alright, can't you come with us?" Alright. So now, when he's received this invitation, so he says to Maulana Iftikhar. Iftikhar Hussain passed away now last year, sometime. So he says to Maulana Iftikhar Hussain Sahib, "Rahmatullahi alayhi, that I have got an invite. Where? From Calcutta to do the foundation. It's a Muslim invite, so let's honor the invitation, let's go. But also, we are taught in the hadith not to travel alone. Ar-raqibu shaytan. Ar-raqibani shaytanan. Person traveling alone, shaytan. Two people, then two shaytans. And three, rakab. Now it's a jamaat. So he looks for someone that can accompany him in this journey. Ulama explained, where there is a genuine need to travel alone, that this is besides the case. Like, for example, now, it's a war situation, and you're sending out a spy. So you can't send people in fives and fours. Then one person has to go and get the information, come discreetly, right? So that's an exception to the rule. But otherwise, traveling alone is not the ideal thing. Not advisable. So I was discussing this with a student. Now this person is not a qualified alim, but a mulana. But now, they're applying the hadith. The beauty is they're applying the hadith. And now I'm relating to the students that how this can become a problem if you're traveling alone. Imagine you're traveling alone, right? And now, there's nobody to see you. You're traveling in a first class, you got the money, and there's nobody to watch you, right? So what stops you from enjoying the music? What stops you from seeing the screen, doing anything? And if it's a nice, pretty little girl who came next to you, and she's wanting some time, what stops you? Nobody to see you, but you've got a jamaat now, two persons and three persons. Now you are a little bit alert. This fellow will see the Hazrat, and that will see now what's going to happen to me. So they remind you. We are humans, we cannot say we can't fall in this. We don't know when we can just slip. You know, at that moment we slip, you know, Allah knows. But you've got a little bit of a defense, a little bit of a fortress, so it's difficult for you to fall into it. The first person, second person, so he is there to remind you. Right. Number two, if you're traveling all by yourself, right, namaz time now you can slip, you can delay, make qaza or whatever. But you've got one person, two persons with you, then to make the qaza is quite difficult. Number three, this is not only in traveling, even you are booking into a hotel, right? Now how many cases don't you have? People are traveling, China, here, there, and whatever, and if you are a good client, right, then as a token, they will line up their girls as a token of appreciation for the business you're giving us. Doesn't it happen? Now, if you're traveling in a jamaat, three persons, it may cost a little bit more. Maybe if one person was 10,000, right, you're taking two people along with you, so it will cost you another 20,000. But doesn't that save your iman? It remind you of namaz. Like, don't do this thing here. See, those areas that you can slip very easily. Don't you get into it. See, the Quran Sharif speaks about Sabiqun bil khairat, Sabiqun as Sabiqun, those that are foremost. Right? Now, if people are going to Jannah and they are the foremost, you know, we'll also want to be somewhere tagging around. Broke away, but we're going to go. And we see them and we're envying them and we can't do anything. Right? That's a pitiful sight. But if you can tag around, what a beautiful thing, right? So now, what are the features of the Sabiqun? Ibn Kathir rahmatullah, he says the features of these people that are foremost. Two explanations, one Ibn Kathir gives and one Aisha gives. That they fulfill all obligations, all the dues. And they refrain from all the don'ts. Dues, don'ts. Prohibitions, commands. They're very careful. Would that they also are consistent with nafil, sunnahs, etc. See, the sunnahs and nafils that we take so lightly nowadays. Whether you say, used to say, rahmatullahi alayhi, where is people's understanding going? They read one kitab, and the definition of mustahab they read was, it's an optional thing, you do it, it's reward, and don't do it, it's not a problem. But they took the definition and they went. But did you look into the root word of mustahab? What comes out of it? It comes from hub, muhabbat. And alif seen is to talab, namik talab, you know, you're requesting. You are desirous, right? So alif seen is for desirous, to request, etc. So these are the means that you use to acquire the love of Allah Ta'ala. Istahabba, the means that you would use to acquire the love of Allah Ta'ala. You say, hey, doing work, but I don't see the drive in me. But then are you employing those means, those avenues that will be used to draw you towards Allah Ta'ala? Are you using them? You don't use them, and then you want the love of Allah Ta'ala to settle in your heart. How is it going to happen? I was just looking at all this, and I'm looking at more times, malfuzat. Sometimes it just happens, you're looking at something, and you just find exactly what you are looking for, right? So in that, I think Muhammad was asking me, I was asking him about, when you're writing an article, you know. So, if it is about some corrupt beliefs, right? So don't you explain the corrupt beliefs, the corruption and the correction. Don't bring it at a public level. So the reason is, he says, that sometimes people may understand the corruption, but they may not understand the answer. So when they understood, they understood the corruption, the corrupt belief, the mind stuck to it. When the mind stuck to it, now their minds are being traumatized. Hey, but this is a corrupt belief now. What's the answer to it? Okay. So your mind took to this very easily, but your mind didn't take to the answer, to the solution. Now your mind is traumatized. Until then, your iman is shaking. So he says that don't look at this. Don't prepare such a literature. So I was looking at that, and I found that article. Now I saw it some years ago. My mistake, I didn't make a record of it. But I found that thing. But with that article, I found something else, around the same area, maybe. See, one is you are doing your formal studies, right? Your studies. Right? Academic, right? So in deen, you are doing an academic study. So the academic studies is very systematic. Do this, don't do this, this is how it goes, right? That's systematic. So more advises there, after the academic studies that you have completed, then the greater thing, the greater reward or the more beneficial thing is, try for the avenues that will bring you close to Allah Ta'ala. I'll give the reason. He says, because if you're going only on the academic, then you are working with a law. Do, don't do. Do, don't do, right? You're working with a law. But if you are looking for the avenues of love, that's going to expedite your journey. In a short span of time, now you need to cover the distance, but now you look for that. So you didn't look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as a businessman. Allah Ta'ala, you do this for me and I will do this. Do this and I will do this. You built up a relation, you improved, escalated the relationship to the relationship of love. Not just a business relationship. Not just an academic relationship. See, academic relationship is different. And a love relationship is something else. From what Julie is telling me just now. But what this academic does. Right. Some person is brought into the old age, right? So, woman is in a pathetic situation, 70 years of age. One son is an advocate, not an attorney, advocate. Right? Second one is an accountant. And the third one is human resource, all very wealthy, all loaded, right? But they can't take care of their dear mother. Now I understand where this is coming from. Where this is coming from is, the mother says, I educated them, right? And this is what rewards I get today. But it's also partly the mother's mistake. What's the mistake? The mistake was, they thought that they are making up a money-making machine. See, what was the mindset? The mindset was, we're making, not a human being, we're building up a money machine. Right? Now when that mind of theirs went into this frame of mind, you know, that it's a money-making machine. So they saw the mother now as a liability. Up to one point she was alright, she could serve us, see us alright, right? So it was productive having her now. But if she's no more productive now, then she's a liability. Now we need to move her away. See now, this is how this whole circular Western system, this is where it's taking you. That is why you'll find people that have been trained that way, then they don't have the personal attention to the children. Right? See, the whole West, you find the same, that the affinity that they need to have for the children is not there. The affinity is just with wealth. But now, it's partly the children's problem, partly the parents' problem. The parents train them in this way, and that's what they get at the end. So you see, we are talking about transformation. So we talk about Hasan Shah, I think that was, his name was Hasan Shah. So he looked for a company straight away, and I'm just showing you now that these people, through the barakat of that association, what he did with their minds, what he did to their behavior. Now he doesn't want to travel alone. He wants a company. Because he understands what can happen. Not trusting the nafs. Hazrat Ji's words were, Barosa nahi is nafs ammara ka. There is no, you can't trust the nafs. Even if it becomes a farishta, then too you don't trust the nafs. You badguma rehna. You treat yourself with suspect. Others would respect, yourself would suspect. Now that, the whole world is going round now. Everybody you are suspicious of. You're suspicious of this one, that one, the whole world. And the only good person is yourself. So where they are saying that you treat others with respect and yourself with suspect, you change the whole thing around. Now this person, I think, is like this. That person is like this. So you give comments of everybody. And your problem, you've got no problem. You are fine. You're excellent. So you have a problem, but everybody else you treat with suspect. See how the whole goes through a change. Now this old Busugana, what they did, they treated themselves with suspect. Now I can fall in. I need to have some fortress, some security, some defense, that I don't fall into a wrong. This nafs is such an important thing. Haji Ibrahim, we call him Sayyidul Taifa, as though he's the leader of the whole caravan, right? All these people that are going in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he's leading them all. So he says, in the world, I've just got two fears. One is the nafs, and one is Allah Ta'ala. You see the nafs, what a problem it is, what a disaster it can cause. I think I've got two fears. One is nafs, what it can do to me. Now he reached all the heights, you know, the heights that you can ever think of. He reached all that, escalated all that. But then too, as long as he's on planet Earth, he says, I'm scared about this thing. I don't know where you're tripping. So, kisi ko bharosa ho sakta hai nafs ke upar. See this Hasan Shah and what he's talking about. This is the barakat of association. Now they are traveling. So, Hassan Shah says to Mua Iftikhar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, that you know, the hadith recommends, advises, that when you're traveling, then one person must be appointed as the Amir. So I suggest that you be the Amir. Now, the way he said it now, that Mua Iftikhar Sahib is still a very young person, right? But the way he said it, he had to just accept it, right? Now this Hassan Shah turned out to be such, okay, without fail, every morning he's on tahajjud. Up past 2, on the dot, he is there. Now they're traveling from Muzaffarnagar somewhere, from Kandla, right to Calcutta. Several days, take one train, another one bus, 20 years, until you reach wherever you reach. In the meanwhile, he got a heavy bout of diarrhea. And man is always becoming frail. And with all that, he is punctual on his tahajjud. So this Mua Iftikhar Sahib is seeing Hassan Shah. I says, you see, you appointed me as Amir. Now the Amir is giving instructions that you're not going to get up for tahajjud. He's saying for a good reason. He says his man's whole condition is just deteriorating. Something, it mustn't happen that he fails just now. Something, just some organ or something just collapses. So he heard him out of respect. But now, at around 2:15, 2:20 in the morning, he feels that someone is touching his toes. You know, Tabligh Jamaat, sometimes when you go, the beginning, slowly they'll start you off your toes by namaz time, tahajjud time, get up nicely, respectfully. There was a lot of style, right? You have to make it easier. Isn't it? When you get someone, you want to initiate respect, love, muhabbat, put something in front, put a horse or something in front. So you attract the person. You attract him once he's got the hawat, he's got the sweetness, he'll move himself. But now from day one, when they hammer the person, and you want him to come on, but you spoil his taste, now how are you going to come on? Now, this Mua Iftikhar Sahib is a student. He just studied, just completed now, 1-2 years after his completion. So now he's enjoying, he's in dreamland, sweet, sweet sleep. At that time now, someone is pressing his feet, softly, gently, kindly. He got up, he is shocked to see Hassan Shah crying away. He says, it's only about 45 years that I've taken bayat at the hands of Imam Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. From that day till now, I've never missed one tahajjud. Now you as an Amir, you have instructed me not to perform my tahajjud, and please, I ask you, for the sake of my Gangohi Hamzat, just allow me, please. I don't want to break your command. But you see how he's acting in the hadith. Respect the Amir, so he's respecting the Amir. Right? And khairul a'mali ma bima alayhi walau qalla. The best action is what is done consistent. Even though it's not too much, but you're consistent, you're at it. But you see now, these people here, what brought them to this? What brought them to this level? See this transformation. From where to where? So he's saying now that once there was the bioscopes and cinema just started off in India, you know. Like the early 30s or 20s, it just started off. So it comes here to Congo. And this person heard about it, so the whole town is there. For the first time in their life, they heard something like a cinema. 1910, 19, whatever. First time they heard something like this. Now the whole town is ganging up to see this thing here. In the meanwhile, I know this is not right, right? Because it's a picture of animal things and all that. I know, when we were children, so it was such a disgusting thing, like it was a kabira guna, you know. If you ever remember, they belt you straight away. Don't give you a chance, right? But now it's like a virtue to keep it in the pocket. In the 1960s, it was like a sin, crime that went there. But the same crime became like a virtue now. See the transformation. Now, you need to see now what's transformed your mind. Your mind was like this just now, and then it went through a transformation that sin became into a virtue. So you see, now the thing came up now, and the whole town is there, all the youngsters are there, and you know, when you're young, and all your buddies are there, how do you feel at that time? You don't want to be left out. Young, energetic, agile, strong, time, you are everything. And the experience of your life, first time. And my mind is pushing me, go there. Since though it was a double story house that we were living in, I was on the top floor, parents are living on the bottom floor, perhaps for their convenience. So outside there was something jutting out, so I could hold onto that and come to the ground, right? Something is jutting out, like a wood or a beam or something that is jutting out. So you hold onto that and come down. So I held the beam, I came down, just like tough ground, thinking to myself, but you know, I took bait at the hands of Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. How could I do such a thing? But you see the consciousness, that awareness, transformation. See the transformation. So it's not just transmission, it's transformation. I just touched the ground and I came up again. Now I'm lying down again, I think about all the youngsters that they sab madine ko gaye aur hum reh gaye, all are enjoying themselves, and I am in isolation now. Hey, what life this is. Everybody's got it and I'm all alone, you know. How do you feel if each day you are alone in the room, no action at all? How do you feel? Now the whole town, imagine it's Eid day now, everybody is celebrating and you all, how do you feel? So he says again, I'm tossing around one side, the other side, one side, the other side, I'm just tossing around. Again, I go and suspend myself to the beam, come down. As I touch the ground, I come up again, like an electric shock, shot up again. The whole night, you see, is passed by them. But you see the transformation, that mindset. It's not just transmission, school may be transmission. You just learn it to make some money, right? That's school. But this is a transformation, a whole change of outlook, right? Anyway, my Tighar Sahib, when he saw this pitiful sight, man is crying, streaming, tears are streaming, said, oh, boy, by all means, you go to the house. Now they come up to that house where they have to come up, so they have to go and perform the night. In the meanwhile, this Hasan Shah Sahib Ahmadullah says that I had some. That Zamana I had some accounts to settle, and I just left the house, and one person gave me exactly the same, about 10,000. Exactly. My debt, my account. 10,000 and what? I just come to the masjid, read my namaz, and this person brought me this gift. So I refused that gift. I refused. Anyway, all that happened, and then a few months, someone gave me a gift of about 20 rupees. So that 20 rupees I accepted. My and Hasan Shah accepted. And that 10 This one here he refused and that one he is accepting. So our Buzugara Deen was such that they were accessible people, you could talk to them freely. Right? They made themselves such deliberately. Even when I went to India, you know, the first week I'm overawed with the presence of Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah. So I can still remember the jokes he would give us, you know. And I could understand now why he's joking. Just to make me feel comfortable, relaxed. That if I need to say something or communicate, the communication will be easy. And the communication is required for me to progress. If I'm not going to ask, then how am I going to progress? So he'll make himself so friendly and accessible that I can ask freely. So my Iftikhar says, I went and asked Hasan Shah, Rahmatullah Alayhi, that the 10,000 you rejected. And that would have settled all your accounts. And this 20 rupees, you accepted, the one you rejected, this one you accepted. I can't understand the mystery behind this. So he says, you know, when I left Kandla, right, then I was hoping that my accounts get settled. So this was a desire, that my accounts get settled, right? So the desire is like asking, right? But the difference between asking and desiring is, asking is done through the tongue, and desire is is from the heart. Both ways you are asking. You are asking here, you are asking from within, right? So both is asking, both is begging, right? And this is not right. Really pushes you back. So my heart was asking, was desirous. When it was desirous, I rejected that, sent it back. And this plenty that came, it came without any desire. No conditions attached, no desire, no expectation. So then I thought, the hadith says that if something comes to you and you weren't desirous of it, unexpected, you weren't desirous, it came, then you better accept it. Otherwise, it will be that you will be in need and your needs will not be fulfilled. When Allah Pak is giving, you didn't even ask for it, you weren't desirous, and something came. Now that's a gift from Allah Ta'ala, accept it. You want it, accept, take it, otherwise give it to someone else. But if it is that your heart is desirous, is asking for it, your mind is asking for it, and then you got it, now there's no guarantee of any good in that wealth. See that? Mawlana Bal Girami Rahmatullah Ali, very great alim, very, very great alim. So he is there in his madrasa, wherever it is. So one student comes along and he sees Mawlana as though he hadn't eaten for 2 days. So you could see from the face and all that that he didn't eat. It's weak and pale. So the student just got up, went home and bought a nice tray of food. So Mawlana says, no, please excuse me, I can't accept this food. Because the moment you got up, I understood this is what you're going for. Now my heart was desirous for that. Although I hadn't been eating for 2 days, but my heart was desirous for that. So for me to participate of this is not right. You see the self now, from the different angles. Sometimes someone you just grab one thing and the second thing and the third thing, you know, this is all the tasawwuf. But get all the sunnah, get everything in your life. Complete. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Get in, but get in completely. Not one step in, one step out, half in, half out, get it complete. Now the student was also quite smart, you see. So when Mawlana said it's not permissible for me to participate, what the student did, he took the, yes, definitely. He took the tray and he went out. After an hour, 2 hours, he brought the tray again. So then he says to Mawlana, now you've got no reason to reject this because you have no expectation to get this food back again. Expectation was killed. Well, I picked up the tray and I moved. When I moved, you fall, now it's gone, finished, gone. Now when I came back, you had no expectation. I said, you are right, but you're smart. So therefore, khidmat karne ka bhi ek tarika hota hai. You want to make khidmat of the buzurgana deen, then there's a style, there's a way. Have some understanding how to offer that service. The service will be offered, but won't that great person, won't that buzurg, won't he feel impressed about you? See this person, kis samajhdari ke saath kaam karta hai. He's working, he's offering a khidmat, but with so much of understanding, so much of nobility, so much of respect. Now, that second phase of that whole operation is over, right? So this Hasan Shah is telling Mua Iftikhar Sahib, you see, now in this foundation, see, I'm old and frail, so you rather go down and I'll pass you the cement or I'll pass you the concrete and you push it in. But as they came to the site, that Hasan Shah, he jumped in, although it was about a meter, for his age was too much, but he jumped in and he did the whole foundation. Well, Iftikhar Sahib is asking him again, but you know that was the arrangement. The arrangement was that I will jump in and you pass the concrete. But why did you reverse the whole thing? So look at the answer. Now this I'm saying, you see this association and the transformation that you go through. The association and the transformation you go through. He said, you see, I am old, frail, I'm about to leave. So agar mere pair mein kuch chot agar to kuch nahi to main to marne wala hu. See, I'm old, frail, I'm going on my way out, right? So if I get hurt, something is all right, one of those things, because I'm on my way out. But you are young, 20, 21 years of age, and khuda ko tumhare se bahut kaam lena hai. Inshallah, Allah will take all the work from you. You need to be healthy. See transformation. So these type of talks are not just for transmission. It is for transformation. Bring about a change. Come with a frame of mind, with a niyat in the mind, that I need to take something, change my life, correct myself. My outlook towards life must change. Each coming day is bringing me closer to my end. When it's coming close to my end, then am I in a state of preparedness? Am I in a state of readiness? So as I'm reading namaz today, so some verses were going through my mind. One of the verses that was coming, you know, on the screen you get something flashing. So the mind also, it flashes. It comes repeatedly. So the thought was flashing in the mind today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, is why is it that we don't have a consistent style, you know, akhirat and a consistent style? So I'm looking now in when the thought strikes now, then your mind just goes in the Quran Sharif, alright. Can you find a solution? One is practicing, is going, and he's slipping, coming up again, slipping. Or he's totally disconcerned. One of the two extremes. One is totally disconcerned, and one is coming, slipping, coming up again, slipping again. So why is this inconsistent style? So, 3-4 verses came in the mind, right? One, إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. Again, fear Allah Ta'ala, right? The fear of Allah Ta'ala. Again, in Surah Alif Lam, Surah Baqarah, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُوقِنُونَ. They believe in the hereafter. See? So again, everything that relates to fear, akhirat, the belief in the akhirat, right? Again, من خشي الرحمن بالغيب. Again, من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب سليم. So for you to get progress, what I understand from these verses, you need to have these two things. And it's very logical that you must have these two things for you to be able to make progress. One is خشية, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, right? Consciousness, awareness, that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Come which way, whichever way I'm looking at life, but I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. For that consciousness must be overwhelming, that I have to stand before Him. مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ, right? وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. But with that consciousness and that awareness that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala, your heart also must be right. Now you have the consciousness that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala, but your heart is pervert, it's going upside down. You can't get it. You can't get the story right. Because you think that you're going to meet Allah Ta'ala, but your heart is going upside down. Your thinking is going corrupt. Like see, the Quran has got one tabaka, one group of people, what they're saying, لَا يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Jannat is reserved for this class of people. So Allah Ta'ala says, تِلْكَ مَانِيُّمْ. In our simple colloquial language, this is wishful thinking. What is it? Wishful thinking. Tilka amaniyum. Saying just for this, reserve for these people. In other words, one is saying that in order to be amongst us, you need to be of this lineage. You don't belong to that lineage, not belong to that color, and you can't get access to Jannah. So one group said this. See that. So they're believing in the hereafter, but is their heart and their mind pervert or right? They're perverts. They feel now they got exclusive rights. That they got the rights to go in. Nobody has got the right. So their hearts are pervert. Hearts are not right. Why the heart is not right? Simple reason, I feel holier than thou. So they feel holier than thou above everybody else. And that's what the Quran Sharif is saying. Don't get into that. Don't get into that. Because that is the biggest impediment when you feel that you are holier than thou. So one went into this lineage, that we got the lineage, we got right. The other group went off, right? How they went off? They felt that getting into this, right, getting into this creed will absolve us from all responsibility. What? Getting into this creed will absolve us from all responsibility. So as though their religion was telling them that you got the license of doing anything and everything. Right? You hold on to Christ and then He has died for your sins, so everything is marked. You absorb the whole responsibility. So what stops you from, a wrong, from something disgusting? What stops you? The figure that you have to stand before, that stops you. But now I remove that. I said, now you became the follower of Christ. Now you have no responsibility. Everything is marked. He died for you, so finish everything. The whole Hisab Kitab is all scrapped, finished. So is there anything stopping you? Nothing stopping you. So you see, one went off. They went off because of pride, right? Family pride. The other went off because of a confusion about the Akhirat. What they felt that he died, so you chucked in. You were thrown into Jannah, no problem. He died for you, so everything is gone, everything is finished. So they went into permissiveness. So you see this, they believe in the Akhirat, but wrongfully. They believed, but wrongfully. Then there's a third group. Right? The third group went off like this. In here, illa hayatuna dunya namutu wa nahya. Wama yuhlikuna illa dahr. See this. These three groups. See this one group, second group, third group. This is just the present. We live and we die. It's just a cycle of life. Come in and you go out. You come in and you go out. Someone is coming in, someone is going out. So it's just the times that brings you and times that take you away. So this is that atheist that we talk of today. But this was existent at that time. Namutu wa nahya ma yuhlikuna illa dahr. So that's the third group. See. So one is this, that religion pride, and the other wanted to be absorbed of all responsibility. And the third went on because they felt that it is just life now, it's a matter of time. Time brings you and time takes you away. So they all cancelled the whole understanding of Akhirat, they cancelled it. Then you get the fourth group. It doesn't end now. Four groups. See, there's four groups. That fourth group, how they went off. See, when you forget Allah Ta'ala, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. You forget Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make you forget yourself. Your own interests will make you forget. And you do something so disgraceful. So disgraceful. So one went to worship a monkey. Right? Doesn't it happen? Is it a fact or not? Right? One went and worshipped a monkey, right? And the other also went exactly with him. He says, no, the monkey is the father. So one made it the father, and one made it the God. See that? The science made him the father, and the other one, the idolater, made him the God. But you see, identical. But now, if I tell the person, right, Mr. Shinsami Ibn Monkey, Mr. So-and-so, the son of a monkey, I call him a Jalsana, you know, it's your graduation, you're becoming a doctor, Mr. Shinsami, the son of a monkey, of an ape. Is that acceptable? He feels that now you disgraced him. But I'm talking about the truth, being transparent. You have to be transparent. I'm being transparent that I'm telling the truth. Now you say, I'm Junaid. And someone say, Ibn Adam, alayhi salam. I'm crowned with such honor. Don't you feel honorable? Don't you feel respectable? So you see these four groups, how they went. One went with the lineage. One went that I don't want any responsibility, right? And the other went, his atheism, he's cut it off completely. And the other one, he went to join Allah Ta'ala. When he went to join Allah Ta'ala, then he did something deplorable, so disgraceful that nobody wants to join up with him. But this person here, the science and this idolater are both identical. Both went into the monkey business. Both went into the monkey business. And when you swear someone, you say you're a monkey. Don't you say that? You swear someone, right? You say you're a monkey, man. What are you playing monkey tricks with us? When you talk about a fraudulent, you're swearing someone, you're abusing someone, you talk of a monkey. So they went to play monkey tricks and they became monkeys of themselves. So you see these four groups. Right? So that means what the Quran Sharif is telling you, Quran Sharif is telling you something, that for you to come right, one is to believe in the hereafter, to the extent of your consciousness and awareness of the akhirat, right? You are aware, Allah is watching. Allah will stand before him. He knows exactly what's in my heart and my mind, right? So to that extent, right, you need to get a qalb salim, a clean heart, a clear heart. Rather say, a clear heart, right? A clear heart means that there must be no prejudice in your heart, no misgivings in your heart, no self-pride in your heart, right? No thoughts of free of responsibility, right? The question of free of responsibility is such a stupid thing. No court of law will ever say you that there isn't a thing like individual responsibility. Everyone will say you individual responsibility. Doesn't they say? Don't they say? Individual responsibility. Even in this world here, right? You committed a crime, right? You killed someone or you damaged his property. So the court will say you liable for the damage, right? They'll hold you responsible. And you say, oh, I got my worker here, he will take responsibility for my crime. Will they entertain that? No, you committed the wrong, you will have to face the consequence. Doesn't it happen in court? So the court, this dunya also saying individual responsibility, in the hereafter also individual responsibility, you responsible. And now they're deleting that. Say, no, Christ took the responsibility. So you see how they deleted. So nicely they deleted. No responsibility. So, in order to get this equation right, one is to believe in the hereafter. That consciousness, that awareness, Allah Pak is there. He is watching. He will take me to account. Small thing or big thing. Before the end of the day, before I am sleeping, I will never get up again. Have I got my records right? Are my records right or not? Before, when you were young, right? I can still remember that someone went for Hajj. It was like a traditional thing. So they get all the accounts right. And they ask everybody for maaf. Because they think maybe they go and they don't return. But you see the consciousness over there. It was a traditional thing, alright, whatever it was. But it gave them some direction. That they got a direction that they may go and not return. If they're going and not returning, so they must have all their ducks in the row. They must have the act right. They mustn't go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a whole big baggage problems. They mustn't go there. They must go clean to Allah ta'ala. So their minds were right. See, it's for me how they went off. Right. Now, in Islam also you got some perversions, like you have in these people perversion. So you'll have namesake Muslims, and they will also be perverts. Like you have the original, so you will have the counterfeit, right? Is the original, is the counterfeit, it's a fake. Fake and original. Like you get a genuine Nabi and you get a fake Nabi. Doesn't it happen? Musaylimah al-Tahdab, Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, don't you find original and you get a fake. So here also you get fakes. اتبعوا سبيلنا ونحمل خطاياكم. Right? What they say? We will take your responsibility. What? We will take your... Now does it ever happen here? I take your responsibility. You came and I take your responsibility. Does it happen? So how can it happen there? When you're going to face the consequence here, you're going to face the consequence. Nobody's going to take it. وَلَا يَحْمِلُونَ لَسْقَالَهُمْ. So one murid now, he goes to meet his peer. So he goes to meet the peer. Like I said, you get genuine and you get the fake. So the murid is going to meet, the student is going to meet his sheikh, his peer, right? So the murid is saying to the peer, but I see you've gone so pale and thin, weak, so weak, What's wrong? Why are you losing shape? He says, you people don't perform namaz. I have to perform namaz for you all, right? You don't keep rosa, I need to keep the rosa all on your behalf, right? You're not doing anything. For you, I will cover up. And the most difficult task is for me to cross the pool salat for you. See, the pool salat is sharper than a sword, right? Sharper than a sword, right? Thinner than a blade. And every day I have to cover up the pool salat for you people. So, won't you find the condition just dropping like this? Well, the murid got very affected, hey, peer sahab, for me, you're going through so much of difficulty, never mind, I got this whole farm of mine, one farm, you take it. Now, as a mark of respect now, he has to allow the peer to walk in front, and he'll go backwards, right? He'll come behind. So it's a rice plantation. I don't know if you see the rice plantation. 3/4 of it is in water. It's submerged in water. So the peer is going in front, and he's going to the rice plantation. That is all submerged in water, separating one farm from the other, the small wall. Now you can imagine if it's submerged in water, all that will be slippery. Now as the peer is going in front and the murid is going behind him, the peer slips in that muddy water, falls down. The murid is a farmer now, and the farmer gives him 2 kicks from the back. He says, "But you can't cross the small wall here, such a thick wall, and you say you're coming in the Pusirat for me. Go, I'm not giving you this farm." But you see this thing doesn't work here, it doesn't work that side. Islam is teaching you individual responsibility. You did something, you face the consequence. I did something, I must be responsible. I can't take on mine, yours, you can't take on mine. Individual response, Islam is teaching us, right? Bil akhirat. So Allah is saying about two things. One, akhirat, and number two, have a clear heart. We don't have any markings. No prejudice, no corrupt thinking, no biasness. The mind must be clear, and the concern of the hereafter must be there for this whole equation to work. But you try everything else, mind is not clear, and the concern of the akhirat is not there, it's not going to work. See, they said this in the past. لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. We, chosen class. So, the good amongst us will fly to Jannah. And the bad amongst us, few days, 1-2 hours will stay in Jannah and we'll fly to Jannah again. So they felt that they had exclusive right. That's why they said, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. So Allah says, وَغَرَّنْ فِي دِينِ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. All this, what they faked up, that really, that they're faking, you know, it deceived them. It deceived them. Amaniyam is wishful thinking, deception, right? All this type of deception and these fake stories was given to them by the priests and the pastors. They were made to think like that. And they found it also enjoyable, but we don't have to do much here. Christ will do everything for us. We are chosen class, we're going. So they cannot exempt themselves from responsibility because they wanted it also. They want someone to say, no, no, you're going, you're alright. They wanted someone to say that. Now, again, check this again. So Allah says that this message is effective, but for who? إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. See, I'm looking at the different ayats, but the different ayats is proving the same point. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Whose higher heart is right. He's got the right heart. You coming. The hadith says, إِذَا سَلُوَتْ سَلُوَتْ جَسَدُ كُلُّ. This is right, everything will come right. Get the heart right. So the heart needs to be clear. No markings. No scrapping. No scratches. The heart must be clear. And I told you what you mean by scars. What it means that you've got no prejudice. You've got no wishful thinking. Your mind is clear, absolutely clear. Wishful thinking is like talking about someone taking your responsibility. That's wishful thinking, right? Or wishful thinking can mean, oh, we will just burn in Jahannam for a few days and then we bailed out. That's wishful thinking. So your heart is clean, heart is clear, and you got the fikr of the akhirat, then you're moving. Just these two things, you're moving. But to the extent of the clarity of the heart, is your progress. All is very clear, you're progressing so much. See, the heart is such a magnificent thing, the heart. You know, you got the Kaaba Sharif, right? So Allah Pakhi in his system, his magnificent system, he's got a center for everything. The center for all nur and blessings descending is the Kaaba Sharif, isn't it? That's the center. And from the Kaaba Sharif, everything is distributed. But in an individual case, it is your heart, that's the center. The light from Allah Ta'ala, the blessings and the goodness descends on your heart, and your heart is then distributing it to the rest of the body. But if the heart is contaminated, then how is it going to receive? You got a jug here, right? And you got 1 teaspoon of urine. You fill it with water, right? You can't see the color of water. But I'm going to take that water, just one teaspoon. Got 3 liters of water filled in the jug. I'm going to take that. Why? Just one teaspoon. Contamination. So that light of Allah Ta'ala, you're not prepared to take that little bit of pollution. So the light of Allah Ta'ala, how you expect it to descend on a heart that is polluted? How are you going to take it? Understand? You are prepared to take it. And you want Allah's light to descend into a heart that is polluted. How is it going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى. Now sometimes the hearts are very good. See, the hearts are very good. It just needs a little bit of exposure. It needs an environment, exposure, and it will bring out the good within it. So the good within it will be exposed, but it needs the right association. So it is good. There may be some good in the heart. But what it needs the association. It needs that that exposure. It's got this exposure and then it's coming out, sprouting out. Sometimes the seed is concealing wrong. Sometimes it's concealing good. So the heart is concealing right. Sometimes it's concealing wrong. So if the heart is concealing right, it's got the right exposure, right will come out. And if it's concealing evil, right, it's got the right exposure, that evil will sprout out and become manifest. I look at it, as Mahatma Thanvi Sahib says, that when I complete my former studies, then my father asked us to be in Kanpur. Right? So we remained there for 15-20 years of my life. I was there. The kitabs that I've learned, I must perfect them. That was my father's intention, so I stayed there. So there was an old chacha there, and 5 times namazi, tahajjud, guzar, all that. So we should respect him. Seeing his punctuality on namaz, on tahajjud, etc., we should respect him. We should call him dada or abba, whatever, we should call him words of respect. Right? So anyway, just moments before this man could die, one day he's talking to me in confidence. So I held him in esteem, respect, any service I didn't need to do. Alhamdulillah, the blacks also, they got this. You see that old man, they call cool. Where do you see that? They got it. So at some point they must have had Islam. But then I suppose something happened, something, they missed out something. But otherwise, respect, where did it come from? They must have had Islam somewhere. Allah will bring it back. Now, just moments before he could die, this man is revealing now. Why is he in confidence saying, Mawlana, you know, when I was much younger, I had a girlfriend. So if she is a Jewess, I am a Jew. If she is a Christian, I am a Christian. If she is a Hindu, I am a Hindu. And just a few moments later, he's died. So Imam Ghazali says that, you see, when everybody is frightened about the last moments, he says, what really happens is, if it was kufr and disbelief, that disbelief was concealed within you. Right? It was concealed. So it wasn't the last moment that gave you up. No, it was what was concealed, that just became manifest at that time. Therefore the hadith is, فِيمَا يَرَاهُ النَّاسِ. That's the word of the hadith, right? In sight of people, you are so close to Jannah as though just one hand's length. But you are concealing that all your life. And what he was concealing, that became manifest at that last crucial moment. But he was concealing that disbelief. Now see that word just came out of his mouth, and then a few moments and he's gone. So this concealed disbelief is wrong that you've got. That heart has to be right. Again we come to the heart. Get that right. So then death is a pleasure. Then you are looking forward to the journey. Because the heart is right. You are concealing any wrong. No corruption and perversion. But by the same token, it says, one Buzruk, he saw in his dream, he saw a Hindu, very wealthy, you know, working in gold and silver. He saw him after death strolling in Jannat, beautiful white clothing, strolling away, singing away and enjoying himself in Jannat. But Lalaji, what are you doing here? Obviously, Jannat, you can't get by mistake. You can come here or America or somewhere by mistake. Passport, you can work a plan, do something. Then can you come with 4 documents
Can you bribe anybody there? No bribery, nothing works there. So this Buzurg is asking that person, hey, Lalaji, now, how did you come here? You are Hindu all your life, I know you. How did you end up here? It's true what you're saying. But what really happened was, I saw my child eating in the month of Ramadan openly. And I thanked him. I said, Brother, no respect you got. Don't you know it's the fasting season of the Muslims and you're supposed to be respecting this? Don't you know this? So Allah Pak liked this. My heart was good. My heart was good. Just that I was Karat min qawmin kafirin. So he was from amongst the kafir. So he just went into this because of the society that he was. Otherwise his heart was good. And the heart was good, the indication that the heart was good was that he smacked the child for showing disregard to the fasting season. This is about a year or so before I could pass away. Although I was cremated and everything else, whatever procedures, protocols, all that happened. But Allah blessed me with iman 1 year before I could die. And kalima, and I was practicing my deen 100%, just concealing my faith because I was old now, 75, 80, and I needed the care and attention. So if I had just expressed my deen, then I would have been ostracized. I would have to take care of me. So with the fear that I'd be ostracized, I was just concealing my faith. I was practicing 100%. And Allah Pak, who is more appreciative than Allah Ta'ala? Who is more appreciative than Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative. Alright, within his means, he tried to hold to the truth. Hold to the best. He never betrayed Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Just that whatever he did concealed. So at the end he says, Allah Pak saw me right. I died with kalima. I came flying to Jannah. Whatever they did. But that's with the body. But then, kya masla? Not a problem. Allah Pak will give me another body. One body is gone. Allah Pak will just give me another body. So what's the big deal about it? So you see this heart and the importance of keeping the heart clear at any given time. Now, one person is asking, you know, sometimes you get these thoughts coming in your mind about this person and that person. So you have two types of thoughts. One is about your imaniyat, one is about people. Right? So an alim or something he'll get about imaniyat, and a non-alim may get about people. Sometimes an alim also can get thoughts about this person here, that person, right? So now how do you rectify and how do you clear your heart? So what I suggested, you keep this in mind that a Muslim must win, irrespective, but you must win. Now if it's my last moment and I got these wrong thoughts, all rubbish thoughts about people, right, what's going to happen to me? I'm dying with all rubbish thoughts about people. So what I need to do is exactly when I realize that I'm getting these filthy thoughts about people, immediately I'll make dua for him. Allah Pak, uska khair karo, uska bhala karo. Allah Pak, make it good for him, make it pleasant, whatever he's doing, Allah, give him success, give him progress. And if you died in that condition making dua for your brother, then isn't it a great way? Yeah? So you'll engage your mind, even though you'll find it difficult. Make, hey, such a man, I'm going to make dua for him. Make dua for him. Because you must be a winner. So because you must be a winner, keep making dua, making dua, making dua. You die in that condition, what a beautiful state, right? Right. And even if you didn't die, then too you are, even then, you struck a bargain. How you struck a bargain? I'm making dua for you. So aren't the malaika making dua for me? I'm making dua for my enemy, for my own life, right? But I'm kept on making dua for him, making dua for him. So haven't I struck a bargain? The malaika going to make dua for me. Labak, walaka bi misl, may you get the same thing. What you are asking for your brother, Allah Pak give you the same thing. What you are asking for your brother, may Allah Pak grant you the same thing. So both ways you have struck a bargain. If you died also, and if you're living, malaika making dua for you. But however you entertain the wrong thought, and if it is that that man was totally innocent, or you misread the whole condition, the whole state you misread it, aren't you facing problems? Or you have this type of thoughts about that person, he's free of all guilt. What business you have to have wrong thoughts about him? Haven't you put yourself into a predicament? But the easy way, you kept on making dua for him. If you heard something wrong about him, you still made dua for him. Give him progress, give him prosperity, give him the good of both the worlds, right? If he's wrong, bring him right. If he's right, make him more steadfast in what he's doing. So, aren't you in a win-win condition? So your heart is right. So for you to receive that light of Allah, the heart has to be right. At any given time, your heart has to be right. So one is now these thoughts, right? These thoughts of people, etc., that will hound the heart, right? And the second thought is about imaniyat, right? Iman and related issues. So your relationship with Allah, Allah got a love relationship with you. Not bothered what shaitan, what whispers come and attack my mind. My relationship with you is a relationship of love. And a relationship of love is not subdued with logic. It's not subjected to it. It's just love. Allah, I just love you. I don't need any proof. I don't need to make any calculations and all that. Leave the calculations aside. It is just a love relationship that I enjoy with you. And keep saying that, Amantu billah. Allah, I believe in you. I love you and I believe you. I believe in you. No matter what thoughts come, you just repeat this in your mind. And you see, shaitan says, hey, it's too much, this way is too heavy. It's becoming too heavy. He'll leave you. I can guarantee he'll leave you. Because he can't take that burden. See, he can't take it. When you keep your heart clean all the time, he can't take it. But what an easy way to bring about the clarity of the heart. The heart is clear, you're getting the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. That is coming right now. There is the motivation and the drive to do wrong and to leave wrong. To do right and to leave wrong.